Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over this long period of time, we've been studying together in the prison epistles written by Paul as inspired by the Holy Spirit. These prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, are four very important epistles. Now, I've tried to emphasize in almost every lesson that the entire Bible is the Word of God. But for the sake of teaching, we often divide the Scriptures into sections of Scripture. For instance, we teach the prophetical books, and we generally group these together, the major prophets and the minor prophets. We teach the historical books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and so forth. We teach these historical books. In the New Testament, we also divide. There are historical books, and these would be the Gospels and Acts. There are the travel epistles, such epistles as Romans and Galatians and 1 and 2 Corinthians and 1 and 2 Thessalonians. We also talk about the prison epistles, which is what we're studying right now. We talk about the general epistles and the book of Hebrews, and then, of course, the book of Revelation. And as we study the Word of God, we are emphasizing now these epistles written when Paul was in his first imprisonment in Rome. He was a prisoner there. He was in a prison cell. He had been in a hired house his first 2 years from 58 to 60 A.D., but now he's in a prison cell. But he still has this great burden for the people he had reached with the gospel. And so he writes to these people now, including one individual, Philemon, who is probably located somewhere near the city of Colossae. And so Paul has been speaking to them, and he's commended their faith. Paul has never been to Colossae itself, and this is the book we're studying, the book of Colossians. This is the third of these prison epistles. But he had never been to this city. But he has sent his evangelist there, Epaphras, and Epaphras has evangelized among them. And now these people are following the Lord. They have trusted the Lord. They're following the Lord, and they need some further help. And so the Apostle Paul, speaking to them from the prison cell and inspired by the Holy Spirit what to write, the Apostle Paul is writing to encourage them and to correct any little things that might be wrong. Now, we've come down now to verses 9 to 13, and I want to read this passage with you, verses 9 to 13 of Colossians chapter 1. And let's follow this very closely as I read. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, I want to stop our reading right there. Now, this is a prayer that Paul prays for these people. You will notice in these prison epistles, and we're going to see this also in other epistles he writes, very often the Apostle Paul will pray a specific prayer for these people, and then he will share with them exactly the contents of his prayer. In other words, this prayer would be a burden for the people to whom he's writing. So, in the book of Ephesians, we saw this twice. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 19 to 23, and in chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. We saw this again in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and verses 9 to 11. We're seeing it now in the book of Galatians. We will see it again if we were to study 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 Timothy, and also, of course, the book of Philemon. And you saw it also back in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. And so the Apostle Paul not only prays for these people, but he wants these people to know exactly how he prays and what is the burden of his heart for them. In the book of Ephesians, for instance, in his two prayers, his first desire for them in chapter 1 is that they might clearly understand their salvation. In other words, they have been saved, but they may not be indoctrinated concerning the exact nature of their salvation and the results of it and what they can expect from God in their salvation. And then in chapter 3, he prays for the Christian life. And so this is a pattern that he follows. He specifically prays certain prayers, and then he lets them know exactly how he has prayed. Now, in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 9 to 12, you notice the main emphasis and theme of the prayer is found in verse 9. And it's found in these words, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Everything that follows in this prayer is built upon this theme. Clear down to verse 13. Now, this introduction to the prayer could mainly be dealing with a false teaching that they're facing and that some of their assembly may be tempted to follow. It's very important that all false teaching is dealt with and that false teaching is rejected, because Satan, as a clever enemy, is continually seeking to destroy our beliefs, is to undermine our beliefs, to change our beliefs, to weaken them in some way. And so this could be that this emphasis is going to be in this prayer, that he's going to be praying that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will in wisdom and spiritual understanding. In other words, the correct understanding of their faith and the rejection of everything that would deny this. And verse 10 would seem to support the idea that this is the first emphasis of the prayer, where he emphasizes walking worthy of the Lord and increasing in the knowledge of God. In other words, they're to increase in true knowledge, and they're to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, but to increase in the true knowledge as they reject the false things. But we also notice that the rest of the prayer is emphasizing the conduct of their lives, both before God and before others. While it is important to guard ourselves in what teaching we follow, our daily walk in salvation is also to be pleasing and acceptable to God. In other words, what you would read and what you would study as we study these prison epistles is this, that even if our faith is true, our beliefs are true, if our walk is not true before God, if it's not pleasing to God, then we have failed in our Christian lives. And so in chapters 3 and 4 of Colossians, this in fact is going to be the main emphasis. So following the truth faithfully and without compromise is very, very important. But it is not a substitute for living lives that are displeasing and unacceptable to God. In other words, God wants us to live lives that are acceptable and pleasing to Him. So we never substitute the Christian life simply for what we believe. In other words, I believe this very strongly, therefore it's all right for me to go ahead and sin as I please. And so we notice the contents of his prayer concerning the conduct of his daily walk before the Lord. Now, in verse 10, for instance, he uses these words, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. We had already noted in verse 9 the fact that he emphasized the truth that they were to follow. But now, in verse 10, he speaks in these terms, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. This word worthy is a very important word. The Lord Jesus speaks of those who are worthy of him. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. In Romans chapter 16, verse 2, the word worthy is used again, where he speaks of a worthy walk. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, again, the word worthy is used. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, the word worthy again is used. Now, what does this idea mean? The emphasis and meaning of this term is that we will, in our walk, meet the spiritual standard that is required to properly represent and bring full honor to the Lord Jesus in our daily conduct. So if our lives are not bringing honor to Him and we're not fully and properly representing Him, then we do not have a worthy walk. When I come to the Lord Jesus, I came to Him as an unworthy person. I came to Him as a hopeless, lost sinner. The Lord Jesus picked me up out of the miry clay, so to speak, picked me up out of the miry clay and saved me from my sins. And now, God, by His Holy Spirit, enables me to live a worthy life. Now, I cannot repay Him for my salvation. That's not the point of any of these passages. I'm not repaying Him for my salvation. He bought my salvation. It is a gift of God. It wasn't due to any works that I might do either now or in the future. So I cannot repay Him for my salvation, but I can show my love for Him. I can show my gratitude to Him, my thanks to Him for my salvation by living a worthy life. So he talks of walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And then the second phrase is in the last part of verse 10 of chapter 1, part B. He also says that we might be fruitful in every good work. Now, the term fruitful can refer to the accomplishing of God's purposes in our daily labor for Him by bringing others to the saving knowledge of the Lord, or helping other Christians to grow in the Lord. Some believe that this term more properly would refer to having the fruits of the Spirit. That's how we are fruitful, manifesting in our lives the presence of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Galatians chapter 5, beginning verses 22 and down through verse 23, speaks of the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so forth. And perhaps this is also a good use of this phrase, being fruitful in every good work. In other words, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit in your life, not only winning others to Christ and encouraging other Christians, but also manifesting the fruits of the Spirit in your life, having true love, true joy, true peace, true long-suffering, and so forth. It is also possible that this phrase could refer to manifesting the One who has saved us. It was manifesting Christ Himself, being fruitful in manifesting the Lord Jesus in our lives. And then the next phrase in the last part of verse 10 is increasing in the knowledge of God. And I want to emphasize this truth with you. This part of the prayer is included in other prayers that Paul prays for believers in the churches to which he writes. And we see this in Ephesians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, and so forth. Whether this increasing in the knowledge of God has to do with the basic facts of salvation itself, or whether it has to do with the deeper things of the Christian life, after we are saved, our knowledge of God is to continually increase. And I want to emphasize that even at my age, and I'm old enough to be the grandfather or father of many of you, but even at my age, there is never a time when I can cease to increase in the knowledge of God. No matter how many times I read the Bible, I seek to read through the Bible, study through the Bible even yearly, but no matter how many times I've read and studied through the Bible, I am still learning new things from God. So there's never a time in our lives when we can stop growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, growing in the grace and knowledge of the faith, of the Word of God itself. And then again he says in verse 11, chapter 1, verse 11, part A, strengthen with all might according to His glorious power. Now this strengthening may have to do with being strengthened by the indwelling Holy Spirit against daily temptations we face. We're going to see this emphasis in Romans chapter 8, Galatians chapter 5, and in many, many other passages dealing with the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so this is very, very important, strengthened with might according to His glorious power. When you study the book of Romans, and let me just touch on this just in a sentence or two, but when you study the book of Romans, chapter 7, the man in chapter 7 is not relying upon the Spirit of God for his strength in overcoming daily temptations. And so he is in complete defeat. He has tried through following the law and doing other things through self-effort to have victory. But in chapter 8, we are taught that victory can only come through the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, this strengthening can also have to do with the power that we need in any witness of the gospel. And this is a subject in itself. The Lord Jesus, for instance, indicates in John chapter 16 that the Holy Spirit, when He is come, would convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. As we seek to witness for the Lord, as we live for the Lord before unsaved people, and as we witness for the Lord, it is only the Holy Spirit that can give us the power that we need to touch their hearts. In other words, I cannot touch their hearts myself, but the Spirit can reach into their hearts, can apply a verse of Scripture that we leave with them, can apply the truth that we share with them, and long after we have gone our way, they still will be pondering the things that the Spirit has used to touch their hearts. And so this strengthening with all might, according to His glorious power, is also very important. Now, I need to stop this lesson at this point. I want to continue this prayer in verse 11 in our next lesson. But I want to emphasize to you that if there is a spiritual need in your life, you need to get that need settled before God. Some of you may even need to be saved from your sins. You've heard a lot. Perhaps you've attended church. You've attended our church here at Harvest or some other church. You've heard the gospel before, but you've never acted upon this truth. And I want to warn you, God gives you an opportunity to be saved, to have true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to take this opportunity, you have to leave everything else you've depended upon and depend only on Him to save you from your sins. And if you have never done this, I trust you will. And also, if you need to grow in the Christian life, use this study as a means of reminding yourself the need to grow in Him. May the Lord bless you and help you, each one.